of the Bible. And the famous story we've been looking at for the past few weeks is the story of Joseph. Tonight we're going to close out the story of Joseph, and we're going to see exactly where he's at this point. Let me bring you up to speed. As many of you know, Joseph has had an amazing journey where he grows up with 11 brothers. And these 11 brothers, at least 10 of them, aren't too crazy about Joseph. Well, Joseph's kind of a little bit proud at that point, the early point of his life. His brothers take offense to him. They do an unbelievable injustice, and they sell Joseph off as a slave. Joseph is shipped off to Egypt, where he goes through an amazing journey of working for the captain of the guard, then winding up in jail where he doesn't belong because he didn't do the crime. Eventually, Joseph is brought out to Pharaoh, where Pharaoh finds favor with Joseph and promotes Joseph to the king of all the land, really, of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And it's at this point that Joseph has stored food. He has made Egypt ready for a severe famine that he knew was coming, and he has stored food, and his brothers, after all these years, show back up. And here they are, face to face with Joseph, and they don't even recognize him. And we studied this over the past few weeks about Joseph's forgiveness, but there's one piece of the story that we haven't gotten to yet, and that's Joseph's father. Joseph's father was back in Canaan this whole time. He thinks Joseph is dead. He doesn't know. But the brothers are going to go back and get him. And Joseph will finally be reunited to the father that he loves. We're going to be reading in Genesis chapter 45. I'm not going to put this up on the center screen because it's rather long. I'd like you to sit back and listen to it. And then we're going to really look at, just so you know where we're headed, we're going to look at a little character study. Character study of Joseph and his father. So here's where we go. Chapter 46, starting at verse 16. When the king of Egypt, that's the Pharaoh, and his officers learned that Joseph's brothers had come, they were very happy. So the king said to Joseph, "Tell your brothers to load their animals and go back to the land of Canaan and bring their father and their families back here to me. I will give them the best land in Egypt, and they will eat the best food we have here. Tell them to take some wagons from Egypt for their children and their wives to bring their father back also. Tell them not to worry about bringing any of their things with them, because we will give them the best of what we have in Egypt." So the sons of Israel did this. Here we see that the brothers go back. They tell the father, Joseph is still alive, and he wants us to come back to Egypt. He's an amazing man. And they do this, and they come back. And so Israel, that's Jacob, that's Joseph's father. His name was Jacob, but it has been changed to Israel by God. So Israel took all he had and started his trip. He went to Beersheba, where he offered sacrifices to God, to the God of his father Isaac. Well, during the night, God spoke to Israel in a vision and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And Jacob answered, "Here I am." And then God said, "I am the God, the God of your father, and don't be afraid to go to Egypt, because I will make your descendants a great nation there. I will go to Egypt with you, and I will bring you out of Egypt again. Joseph's own hand will close your eyes when you die." Well, Joseph is informed that his father is coming. They're en route. And so in verse 29, it says, Joseph prepared his chariot and he traveled to Goshen to meet his father. As soon as Joseph arrived, he embraced his father and wept on his shoulder for a long time. And then Jacob said to Joseph, "Now let me die, for I have seen you with my own eyes, and I know you are still alive." This is one of my favorite scenes in the Bible. And for me, I play it out big time in my mind. God gives us only so much there, but it's easy to picture what this would be like. A father and a son in each other's embrace. What a moment for these two men. And what a moment this is for us. Because it's here, in this moment, that we see two of God's battle-weary soldiers come together, and just for a moment, they drop their spiritual swords, and the swords they've been swinging for a lifetime. And just for this one moment, they're allowed to be simply a dad and his beloved little boy. For just this one moment, they are once again family. All the hurt, all the wrestling with God, all the keeping their chins up through hours of loneliness and hurt, all the difficult obedience that God called them to, all of it winds up here with this emotional release. And we see that God's warriors are really children at heart. And for at least this one long embrace, a dad and his little boy. These two heroes of the faith that will be remembered for centuries to come have been trying to keep their heads above water, doing what God's called them to do, and they have been trying to serve God. And now, here they are, in one moment of love for each other, respect for each other, and understanding for each other's lives. The tragedy would be if we miss this moment. That would be if we miss that these two heroes of the Bible are really just a dad and his son trying their very best to follow all that God has told them to do, and a father and a son who value each other's approval. That brings us to our first point tonight in this character study, and that is this. God makes his heroes out of the most unlikely candidates. As I said here about Jacob's name had been changed by God. He's no longer known as Jacob. His name is changed to Israel. Jacob meant the schemer, the deceiver, the man who would steal a birthright from his brother becomes the man who would birth the 12 tribes of the name of Israel, a nation that bears his name today. This man whose sons would wind up committing murder, this man whose sons would get into sexual sin, who would commit conspiracy, this is the family that God would choose to be the 12 pillars of his chosen people. Then there's Joseph. Here he is weeping on his father's shoulder, a boy who years ago had delusions of grandeur, telling his brothers they would bow before him, basically. And here he is, telling his father, "I love you." A boy who was dragged into Egypt 25 years earlier as the lowest of low. A boy who became a foreign slave, an animal who could be purchased with the ability to scrub your floors. A boy who trusted God because God was all that he had left from his beloved homeland. These two men, this is who God picks to lead an immense nation, to save an entire geographic region, to save them from starvation and death. You see, God makes his heroes out of the most unlikely candidates. I remember being at a conference once and hearing a man named David Ring speak. David Ring suffers from cerebral palsy. He has a terrible speech impediment from that. But when David grew up, his mother didn't care. She loved David with all her heart. She loved him enormously. As I said several years ago, I got the opportunity to hear David Ring speak. He spoke through such a thick speech impediment that it was difficult to understand him all the time. But this man held 11,000 people captive with his preaching. For 20 minutes, he spoke to us, and we hung on every word, trying to make out every word. He told us that as a little boy, he had loved his mother so deeply that she was his world. She had taught him all about Jesus, taught him all about God, but then at a very early age, she had passed away, and he was left to be raised by others. He told us that day that other people told him, "David, you're never going to be able to ride a bike. You have cerebral palsy." But he told us that day he did learn to ride a bike. He said that people had told him, "David, you're never going to get married." And he had us all laughing when he told us he had gotten married and he had 5 kids to prove it. He also told us that they told him emphatically, "David, you don't speak very well, therefore you will never preach." Well, the day we were listening to him was his 265th preaching of the year. He closes out his messages the same way every time. He says, "I'm David Ring. I have cerebral palsy, but I preach. What's your problem?" David Ring is a very unlikely candidate to be a hero, but in God's kingdom, he is a tremendous hero. "I have cerebral palsy, but I preach. What's your problem?" I'll never forget that line. When I look around at the people I go to church with, I see a lot of very likely candidates to be God's next set of heroes. I look around, I say, maybe you are fathering or mothering the next Joseph like Jacob did. Maybe your daughter, because of what she has seen of God's love in you, will embrace God so strongly and so deeply that God will use her to spread God's love to others where no one else would want to go. Or maybe you're a young person and you're feeling like you have very little to offer. You feel like you're basically living in slave status. Well, Joseph was qualified to scrub the floors when he got to Egypt. Instead, he became the prince of Egypt. Or maybe you're feeling like Joseph's brothers, those who committed such a heinous sin against their brother, so despicable that it could never be removed from their hearts, never be removed from their record. Well, the truth of that matter is that Jesus himself would come into this world as a descendant of one of those brothers, Judah. Judah, the one who was the mastermind of selling Joseph into slavery. Jesus would be his descendant. This story that we read is recorded for us to inform us that you and I are people God wants to use to communicate his love to our generation. David Ring's predominant message and his famous catchphrase, "I have cerebral palsy, but I preach. What's your problem?" Some of these problems could be jail, pride in your heart. Maybe you've suffered divorce through divorce. Maybe you've committed a crime. Maybe you commit a lot of rage in your life, suffer from instability. Maybe murder, lying, stealing. That whole list is a list of heroes from the Bible. Not you guys or me. Heroes from the Bible suffered from each one of those. God makes his heroes out of the most unlikely candidates. Today, God's heroes come in all shapes and sizes. Some of God's heroes preach. Some of God's heroes sing. Some of God's heroes do the simplest things that have the biggest impact. God makes his heroes out of the most unlikely candidates. That leads us to a takeaway point, something you can apply. And the point, and here it is. What problem are you letting hold you back from being one of God's unlikely heroes? That's a question that we need to ponder this week. And as you're pondering it this week, I'd like to give you what my answer was to this. What problem was I letting hold me back from becoming one of God's unlikely heroes? You know, I have, since I was 23, had the opportunity to explain the Bible to people. First, I did that in a youth group. And I was on a youth group teaching team. Later, I began teaching to an entire church congregation. But this was taking turns with other people. Now, throughout the time that this was happening, I was always involved in the arts. I played my guitar. I wrote dramas, I liked doing dramas, I would sing, I would do all kinds of the arts things that you see done here in our service. Now, the arts things that I did were very easy for me. They were natural. You see, I would just go home and I would prepare the work that I was responsible for, and then I would do it. The teaching, on the other hand, for me, was something that was very time-consuming. It was difficult for me to prepare and carry out lessons. So I lived with this as my problem, this idea that I had to have lots of times to be ready to speak. And each time I was asked, I was always tell people, I can only speak like once a month because that's what I have to deal with. It takes me a long time. I realized that I was capable of only that, and that was my problem. Then one day, God told us that we needed to start a church here in Stuartsville and Phillipsburg. We started in Stuartsville and came to Phillipsburg. And I knew that when we started that church, I was going to be the one who had to teach in the beginning. And I was going to have to teach every single week, not every single month. And I felt that my problem was I needed a lot of time to get these messages ready, because that's how it had been for so long. That leads me to point two. Take this takeaway right into point two. God will ask you to do what you are incapable of doing. God will ask you to do what you are incapable of doing. See, whenever I had to do an art element, I simply sat down and practiced and drilled. I would rely very little on God because I could do this. I could handle it. I could make the song work. See, that's called running in your own strength. And for most of us, that's a relatively safe thing to do. And it's usually pretty comfortable for us. But it runs in direct conflict with what God asks us to do in the Word of God. God asks us to run in His strength, to accept the challenge that only God can accomplish, and to allow ourselves to be put in a position where we must depend on God to do the task. John 15:5 says this. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who live in me, while I live in them, they will produce a lot of fruit." And then he says this statement, "But you can't produce anything without me." Joseph, back to our Joseph from our story, the slave, the convict, he was unable to save a nation from starvation. But the God that was with him was more than capable of saving it, and he did. The father, Jacob, the deceiver, he was incapable of birthing God's chosen people. But with God, the God he wrestled with one night, the God he held on to, that God was more than capable of taking him through and allowing him to do that. 8 years ago, when we started Westbridge, I said to God, "You've got to help me do these messages because I don't think I can do them." And God said, "Perfect, that's right where you need to be." And so, with the help of some friends at the firehouse allowing me to get off, I spoke every week for 102 weeks straight. Never dropped a message. Never didn't have anything to say. Now, maybe some weren't so great, but they were all there, and people came back because God got me through it. The takeaway on this point is this. Am I suffering from eye disease? Are you running your own strength? Or are you allowing God to move you into a situation where God is a necessity, not just a nicety? And that takes us to our final point on unlikely heroes. God's ability overcomes our problem. Philippians 4:13 says this, "For I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength I need." There's a story that I heard about a man, Sergeant Dana Bowman. Sergeant Dana Bowman was an amazing man who was a parachutist for the United States Army. He served on an elite team called the Golden Knights, the Army's top parachute team. Well, one day, Sergeant Dana Bowman and his friend Jose Aguilon, they were about to practice a very difficult maneuver called the Diamond Track. And during a training mission, they were just training to do this thing, and they had performed this maneuver over 50 times, they ran into a problem. In this particular move that they were going to do, they would pass each other at speeds of 150 miles per hour. They were supposed to pass each other within 20 feet of each other. But something went dreadfully wrong. Instead, at 3,500 feet in the air, when Dana and Jose passed each other, they hit. Dana Bowman, both of his legs were severed off immediately. He went into unconsciousness, and luckily he sailed to the ground alive. His partner, Jose, didn't. He was lost. Sergeant Bowman woke up, and he learned about the loss of his friend, and he also learned that one of his legs was gone below the knee, and one of his legs, the other leg was gone above the knee. And he was devastated. Within weeks of the accident, his wife left him. And not long after that, the Army discharged him. He had an amazing problem on his hand, he thought. How can I live like this? But God's ability overcomes our problems. Sergeant Bowman started trusting in the God that he knew about for so long, but hadn't really made a necessity in his life. He moved from God being a nicety in his life to God being a necessity. He said, God, you have to teach me how to live like this. Within 6 months, God had done that. He and Sergeant Bowman became very strong, and Sergeant Bowman went and got some prosthetics, and God led him through this whole process. 6 months after the tragedy, Sergeant Bowman parachuted again out of the same plane. 9 months later, he was allowed to re-enlist back into the Army, and he celebrated his re-enlistment by jumping again with the Golden Knights. He went on to finish his career, and he's retired now. Today, Dana water skis, skis on snow, scuba dives, flies airplanes, flies helicopters, and races motorcycles. He has more than 500 parachute jumps since his accident. He has gained his college degree in commercial aviation. He is remarried, and he too, like David Ring, has 5 children to prove it. I ask you, what allowed Dana to have that kind of strength? Well, when he was interviewed on a Christian television show, he said this. He says, we have to live by the path that God has given us each and every day. He said, it's been hard for me, but I continue on. He says, I want to live a Christian life. God gave me a chance to live that. Now I have something I want to give back. The last takeaway is this. Is there anything God is asking you to do? You see, gang, God tells us that he has given each of us a God-powered ability. He tells us this in 1 Corinthians. You and I have some type of God-powered ability inside of us. And when we use that gift that God has given us, you partner with God, pulling on a yoke. God on his side and you on your side. As you do that, you learn more about yourself and who God made you to be. But you also get to know God a whole lot better. And isn't that really why we come together here on Saturday nights? To get to know God better and how to serve him? So I'm going to ask Caleb to sing for us tonight. And as he does, why don't you take the next few minutes to sit back and listen and ask yourself, is there anything that God is asking me to do? As I picture Joseph and his dad with their arms around each other walking off into the sunset towards Egypt, I have to stop and remember, these are not supernatural men. These are just everyday men who trusted God. Unlikely heroes. This is we've seen here. I want to challenge you to think about what God is calling you to do. Sure, you've got problems. We've all got problems. But we found that God's ability overcomes our problems. Mr. McRae talked about opportunities right there. Tomorrow, 9:30 in the morning, need 10 people to help carry some things down to a basement and take apart some shelves. It's not a whole lot there. And then 10 more people to paint an upper room. Heroes in God's kingdom who will serve him, do what God's called him to do. We heard Mr. Robert talk about how Miss Emily has a Christmas program coming up for our after-dinner theater, and there's room for everyone. Is there something God's calling you to do? Is there something God's calling you to do in your home? Is there something God's calling you to do in your workplace or here? I want to be one of those unlikely heroes. The Bible isn't really finished being written, to tell you the truth. It's just the rest hasn't been written down yet here. But God's writing it down in heaven. Who are the heroes who are doing what God's called them to do here? I want to be one that God writes a chapter about, saying, he did what I called him to do. Like David Ring, I preach with cerebral palsy. What's your problem? Because God can overcome it. Would you pray with me? Lord, I want to thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, and I pray that you would take each of us and let us realize through the power of your Holy Spirit that you've enabled each of us to do something. It may be something as undramatic as praying for people we know. But those are the kind of warriors you call us to be. It may be something as simple as helping out cleaning a room or painting. But again, it's things you call us to do. Maybe being an extra in a drama. Maybe learning to play guitar. Maybe learning to set up a hospitality table. Lord, there's all kinds of things you've called us to do. But I pray that you would continue to rise up heroes. Unlikely people like Joseph. Unlikely people like a deceiver named Jacob to do amazing things through. Let this be a church that is filled with unlikely heroes as you record it all in heaven to read it to us one day. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. We'll see you next week at 7 o'clock. All right. Thank you.